broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
I'm embarrassed about because I do nothing but rep for the Haitian people.
Was Lindsay out partying that night?
No, she wasn't. It's all a lie. She did not party.
Smell
them?
What did you hear?
Same thing everyone else heard.
Slap the young lady on her buttock.
She's going to hell, this bitch.
They're disrespecting my culture, man. Disrespecting my people, man. We can't stand up for this, man.
World-famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast. 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. What the hell happened there?
They disrespected my culture, man. Disrespected my people.
That's what I thought. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. And, of course, we're online at philhendryshow.com, where you can go and look at the live streaming video of the show right now, such as it is, such as we are, such as we am. philhendryshow.com, man. And tomorrow night, it's the Phil Hendry Christmas Carol as we replay the original performance, live performance from 2009. We haven't done anything, man, other than we're going to replay it. That was a live performance of the Christmas Carol. I say that because, you know, some guys tape them, you know.
Yeah, well, a lot of guys are going to tape it.
Thanks, bud. You don't have to yell, man. Wait till the music's over with. A foot fetish video allegedly starring Jets coach Rex Ryan and his wife leaks online. Michael Lohan talks to the press about Lindsay Lohan, plus which star brought in the biggest box office dollars this year. Was it Leonardo DiCaprio, Daniel Radcliffe, or Johnny Depp, or, you know, or Michael Lohan? PhilHendryShow.com is our website, so let's take a look at the, first of all, mention again that we will have right in this hour tomorrow night. So if you're listening tomorrow night, this hour will contain a replay of our 2009 Phil Hendry's A Christmas Carol. And it was performed live at that time, but you're asking me why I'm not performing it, bud?
Yeah, why wouldn't you do it again?
You know what, man? If I did it again, what's the point? I mean, we did it. We did it good the first time. It's goofy. It's weirded out. It's you know, all jacked up. You know, Robert?
Yeah, I mean, it's got a real Gonzo feel to it, man. I mean, what are you going to change, you know?
Well, you could rewrite it and everything.
Rewrite it how, man? You want somebody else playing Scrooge?
No.
Because, Bud, you play Scrooge.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know who else is in it.
Yeah, I don't either.
I don't know who else is in it. I don't know the parts that were played by the different people that we have on the show, our different guests. So that'll be in this hour tomorrow night on the Phil Hendry Show. Check it out. And as far as the video cast goes, it'll be airing on our we'll be airing, you know, our video cast. You'll see me. You'll hear the audio of the replayed show. We were hoping to show the actual video itself from last year, but it has since been frankly, it has since been removed from our archives because when it comes to video archives, and this was before we had the site redesign, so there was a lot of weird stuff going on, man. We just weren't able to hold on to stuff. It's a very, very big file. We had RC in it, and we had Bobby Dooley. We had Steve, Margaret. They're in it, but I don't remember what parts they played. Do you recall?
I think Margaret was like one of the ghosts of Christmas. Like, what do they call it? Tomorrow or something like that?
Yeah, she was a ghost of Grisman tomorrow.
Who's Grisman?
Christmas.
Yeah. The ghost of, what do you mean tomorrow? The ghost of Christmas future.
Yeah.
That's what she was?
I think so. And then I think that I played the ghost. I think I played a ghost.
That's pretty funny.
Why?
Well, three guesses.
Hey, man,
watch out, okay?
Well, call that, man.
All right, don't worry about it. He's kidding around.
Uh-huh.
He's kidding around, okay?
Always trying to do that race humor.
Take it easy. All right, so in any event, we'll have it tomorrow night, starting at midnight Pacific time, 3 a.m. Eastern time, here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Now, this is way out there, man. I don't know. First of all, it's not so goofy when you consider that married couples are married couples. And what they do is their business. This is a story of Jets coach Rex Ryan, and it's a story of some foot fetish videos, I guess, that he and his wife made. Now, I don't know that it's anybody's business. In fact, I know that it's no one's business. I don't know how these leaked out. They were posted on the internet. We'll find out, won't we? If he put them there, which I gotta say, I just doubt that he did, that's a little mental. But if somebody else did, then the guy becomes a laughingstock. He and his wife are into this thing. You know, I would love to just, you know, 5 seconds in every bedroom in America, or maybe not. You know,
I wouldn't want, man, that'd be frightening, man. Oh, God, oh, Lord.
Well, all right, okay. I wouldn't want to be 5 seconds in every bedroom in America, but if you got some video on every married couple there is, brother, it'd be real ugly, real ugly. So appearing subdued and chagrined at his midweek press briefing Wednesday, Jets coach Rex Ryan declined to answer questions about reports that his wife Michelle had appeared in a number of foot fetish videos with him posted on the internet. He repeatedly described the situation as a personal matter. Now we're going to play for you Rex Ryan's comments. Here is Coach Ryan in one of the, oh, actually this is from the foot fetish film.
Yeah, this is audio from a foot fetish film. Like, I don't know if he's sucking her toes. I don't know what's going on.
All right, well, you don't have to tell me, okay?
What, do you want it to be a surprise?
No, I don't want it to be a surprise. I don't need him describing what's going on. In one of the foot fetish videos, a woman who appears to be Michelle Ryan, we can't be certain, lounges in her car with her feet hanging out the window. A man, who is allegedly Rex Ryan, confronts her. The audio levels on the woman are less than optimal. It's an amateur video. Who took the video? I don't know. Here's the audio. Let's listen.
Well, you don't have to put your feet in. You can leave them out.
Sure.
Yeah, oh yeah. In fact, you have really beautiful feet.
Thank you. You know, most people do think, most men do think my feet are pretty. Because they're, well, they're soft and they're petite. And of course, they're.
Yeah, they're.
Very beautiful.
They are beautiful.
Men like them.
Do you mind if I touch them?
Oh, God. You imagine the players having to hear this?
Well, who's they got to hear it?
Well, that's true. Anyway, now the man, supposedly Rex Ryan, I don't know, the man just loves feeling those feet.
I can touch them.
Yes.
Thank you.
What do you think?
Oh, wow. They're, like, really soft.
Awesome.
Yeah.
They're, like, really soft.
Oh, yeah.
Take good care of them. Dress them up. His shoes. Show off my toes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People like to look at them.
Is it okay to touch him again?
Okay. This is weird. I don't think I've ever in my entire life experienced anything quite like this, hearing a professional football coach from the NFL on the radio as he talks about his wife's feet. And why are we playing this? Well, because we can. Apparently, touching the feet didn't quite satisfy the man.
Can I smell him?
He wants to smell him now.
What?
What are you doing, Robert?
A lot of things with those feet.
Yes, I believe they do.
What did he say? Wait, I got to play that again. What did he say?
Can I smell it?
A lot of men. Most men want to smell them?
Most men like to do a lot of things with those feet.
A lot of things?
Yes, I believe they do.
Man, can I take your number or see your driver's license? Thank you. I'm going to turn this thing off.
All right, so there you have it. You know, I'm going to say this. I think it's great that a married couple can stay excited about each other, you know.
Oh, man, you gotta, come on, be honest about it, man. That's weird.
That's none of my bed. They're married, man. They're having some kicks. How long have they been married? I think that a married couple staying interested in each other in any way that they possibly can is a good thing. I think that these poor people have been embarrassed. Unless I find out how the stuff got on the internet, like if one of them put it there. Here is Rex Ryan. He wasn't answering any questions from reporters about the leaked foot fetish videos.
Hi. Well, you know, obviously I knew, you know, these questions, you know, this question's coming and things. You know, this is a personal matter, and I'm not going to discuss it.
Could you confirm if that was you and your wife in that video?
Or? Again, you know, this is a personal matter, and, you know, I hope you can respect the fact that I wish not discuss it.
This poor guy, man, this is going to be following him.
Man, that'd be asking him questions all for, like, the rest of his career.
Unless somehow, you know, I remember a quote from Ned Beatty, and you remember Ned Beatty? Ned Beatty was in the movie Deliverance. Okay.
Oh yeah, yeah. Squeal Like a Pig.
Squeal Like a Pig. Yes, that Deliverance. And Ned Beatty played the character. He played the character who was told to squeal like a pig by these rednecks, okay? These are city boys that are up hunting for the weekend or whatever the hell it was they were doing, and they get waylaid by these rednecks, these real weird asses that attack them and attack this character played by Ned Beatty. Now, apparently, for years after that film came out, Ned Beatty would hear on the street or when he was walking someplace, squeal like a pig.
Really?
Yeah. And he finally was quoted as saying, the next guy that says that to me, I'm gonna knock the guy out. I don't care if I go to jail. I'm going to get physically violent with anybody that walks up to me and says that. And he says, I'm happy to go to jail. He says, rape isn't funny. And, you know.
What do you mean rape?
That's what happened with squeal like a pig.
Oh.
What do you think?
I don't know, man. I don't follow that kind of thing like you do.
I don't follow it either. It's in a movie and it's famous and everything.
All right. So now you know. But this poor guy, this is not anything that was for publication. This wasn't anything for anything. So you heard the normally ebullient Ryan, who often treats the briefing like a stand-up comedy routine, was anything but jovial Wednesday, opening up his comments by going over the injury report and then taking questions. When asked if he and his wife had made these videos, which first appeared on the website Deadspin.com and were later reported by the Daily News, Ryan said it's a personal matter. His lack of denial could indicate that the woman in the video is his wife of 22 years, that the male voice heard off camera is his. One of the four videos on Deadspin.com showed the woman, and you heard all of this stuff. The petite blonde showing off her toes bears an uncanny resemblance to Michelle Ryan. Well, at least it's his wife. Boy, oh boy, what a world we live in. What a society we live in. Do you think there will ever be a day when the American people can collectively look in the mirror and say, you know, we ought to be ashamed of ourselves? Honest to God. Because we feel so sorry for ourselves, and we talk about how we're being ripped off, and we talk about how we're being screwed, and we talk all these things about how all the American people listen. But look at what we do in our spare time. This is a man and his wife. And this is something that is their business. Now, again, how does stuff got on the internet? And if I find it, I can assure you, yes, I'll download it, and
will you save it?
I'll save it, and
you'd probably look at it and everything, get your jollies.
Why don't you shut up? Anyway, like Michelle Ryan, the 47-year-old woman's profile explains she's a housewife with a master's degree, a Virgo, and once lived in Ellicott City, Maryland, which is where the Ryans lived before they moved to New York. So this is on Deadspin reported that the woman featured in the videos goes by the internet handle I Have Pretty Feet and has more than looks in common with the coach's wife. In one clip, the woman is sitting in a green SUV, ba-ba-ba-ba-boom-ba-boom. The videos are called Awesome Souls and Great Feet Out of Shoes and Hot Mature Sexy Feet. Reporters continued to question, not just hot, mature, sexy feet. Reporters continued to question him about the videos, asking Ryan if he could confirm that he and his wife had appeared to them. Ryan continued to say, stick it up your can. We got to find out how these things got onto the internet. Ryan described his wife as beautiful. We've been married 23 years. She's awesome. When asked if he was shocked to see the story on the front page of the Daily News, Jets PR man Bruce Spite jumped in and told the media the coach has made his preference clear. It's a personal matter. So the ball club is protecting him. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I don't know how in the hell a man is going. How do you live? Knowing the maturity level of the average football fan. Anyway, which star brought in the biggest box office over the year? Plus, we'll tell you nine things that become obsolete this, or became obsolete this decade. PhilHendryShow.com, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
You got a website on mature feet?
For all things news and talk radio, visit TRNCentral.com. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, welcome back here. PhilHendryShow.com is our website, live streaming video of the show right now. Get a backstage pass and watch as well as listen. Leo DiCaprio, 2010's highest grossing star. We've got all 10. I think we went 2, 3, 4. Yeah, we've got all 10 of 2010's highest grossing stars. We'll get to that in just a moment. And we've got a phone caller in Minneapolis. This who?
Yeah, Gary Free, that's him.
Okay. Hi, Gary. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, hi, Phil. This is Gary Dupree. That's me. And you were going to do the top grossing stars in the... You were going to do the highest...
Can I ask you, Gary, you in the tub?
Hold on for a minute, Phil. You're going to do the highest grossing stars of 2010. I'm Gary Dupree, that's me, reminding you to read them from 10 to 1, not 1 to 10. Because when you do 1 to 10, it's anticlimactic and so lame, and everyone knows it, too. You would look foolish, too, you know?
Yeah, and you're in a bathtub right now, Gary.
I'm Gary Dupree, that's me. What?
You're in a bathtub right now, and you asked for a duck?
No, I didn't ask for a duck, you douchebag. I asked...
Next time that guy called...
Well, what'd you do?
I didn't do anything, and he ain't going to call me a douchebag either.
What?
I said he's giving me crap saying that I'm lame, and he's in a bathtub asking for a duck.
So?
So, and then I said you're in a bathtub asking for a duck, and he goes, something about I didn't ask for a duck, you douchebag. That's what...
What are you laughing about, man? I'd beat his ass.
I can't beat his ass. He's in Minneapolis.
You got to get some crank callers, man, or closer, because, I'd beat on them.
What do you mean we got to get crank callers that are closer? What does that mean?
Yeah, what's that supposed to mean?
What do you mean? What do you think it means? I mean, you got to get a crank caller giving you a hard time if they're closer.
Well, what am I going to do about that, man? Hire them or something? What do you mean?
I'm just saying we got to get some closer.
How am I going to go out and get crank callers that are closer?
I don't know.
What a jackass question that is.
Yeah.
And you, with this friend of yours.
What? He said it's Gary Dupree, that's him. And he calls up...
Wait, not Gary Dupree, that's him. He says it's Gary Dupree, that's me. And he called up with some... And you know what? He's right. I should read him 10 to 1.
Exactly.
All right. Leo DiCaprio, 2010's highest grossing star between this year's... Well, why did I read him what, 10 to 1? I just said it's Leo DiCaprio.
Well, then you can make number 2 anticlimactic. Or I mean climate.
Number 10. Here we go. Jackie Chan made $359 million, the poor bastard. Chan has been starring in movies for almost 30 years, but the new version of The Karate Kid is his highest grossing to date at the global box office, playing an update. Is this money that they made or money that their movies made? Yeah, it's got to be the money their movies made, because no way Leonardo DiCaprio made that kind of jingle. And we'll tell you what it is in just a moment.
Yeah, $1 billion.
Why did you?
What did you do that for?
Number 9, Jaden Smith, Will Smith's son, first appeared on the big screen with his dad in the 2006 movie, The Pursuit of Happiness. This year, he went solo in an update of The Karate Kid. So there he was. He was in the same movie with Jackie Chan. But, and guess what? He made $359 million. Number 8, Sam Worthington. Updated version of Clash of the Titans was so poorly reviewed for its substandard 3D effects that few people realize it was a big hit. The film earned $494 million at the global box office. That means that the American people stayed away from it. But, you know...
Yeah,
but
the Chinese went and seen it.
Yeah, the Chinese went and seen it. Anyway, the movie earned almost $500 million worldwide. Kristen Stewart, number 7 on the list, $698 million. Like her co-star, Pattinson, Stewart starred in a non-Twilight film this year. It didn't perform very well, though. The Runaways brought in only $4.7 million. The final Twilight book, Breaking Dawn, has been divided into two films that are both sure to be big earners. The first hits theaters November 2011. Well, what did she make her movies? Oh, she made her money with the Twilight movies.
Yeah.
All right, number 6 on our list of the top 10 money, Robert Pattinson, there he is, $749 million. The Twilight films have been perennial earners, so it's no surprise to see Pattinson on this list. He ranks above his co-star Kristen Stewart thanks to Remember Me, a weepy romance that earned a healthy $56 million on an estimated budget of $16. Who was the quarterback for the Steelers?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I thought that was the same guy.
It ain't a guy, it's a girl.
Cordell Stewart.
Was he in that movie?
That's right. Cordell Stewart was in Twilight. No, I just was reminded of his name. All right, so that's number 7. That was number 6. Number 5, Daniel Radcliffe. There he is, $780 million. And what do you think it was for? You got it. Something by those two guys, Ivory and Merchant. No, it was, of course, Harry Potter and it was Deathly Hallows. Radcliffe ranks 5th on our list thanks to one movie, $780 million. Thank you. Number 4, Robert Downey Jr. Iron Man 2 didn't get good reviews, but it did out-earn the first Iron Man movie, bringing in $622 million to the global box office compared with Iron Man's $585 million. Now, why do they give Robert Downey Jr. that movie? Were there other actors in that movie?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't even know why I'm asking. Not even interested. Johnny Depp and Mia Wasikowska are tied for second, and the number one earner at $1.1 billion is Leonardo DiCaprio. So there you have the... And that doesn't necessarily translate. I don't think that they, just because they're in the movie, that means that the movie's going to make money. I think they just were lucky enough to be in the movie, don't you?
Uh-uh.
Thank you. Michael Lohan lied to us. Yes, he lied, and I think he should pay. And I'll tell you why, coming up in the Phil Henry Show. Yeah, yeah, liar, man, he lied.
Phil Henry.
A story here about Lindsay Lohan, ostensibly about Lindsay Lohan, but it's really about Michael Lohan. But it's really about the fact that this guy can't shut up for love or money. Michael Lohan is the father of Lindsay Lohan. Now, the story is it's gotten tiring. It's gotten wearying. You may ask, why am I doing it? Because I have to, because people want to hear about it. That's exactly why I'm doing it. But it does have some interest for me this time around. Why? Because Michael Lohan, with his big fat mouth, is going back on something that he promised he would not do, which is to open that yap again of his. He said back in October in a release statement, this was a printed statement, so he showed a little bit of restraint. He did not open his yap and say this. He had it like printed out in a statement. I want to make a public statement that I will not be commenting on anything capitalized relating to my daughter Lindsay or anything capitalized about my ex-wife or sources related to her might say. Okay? That's what he promised. Well, do you think he kept his promise?
Uh-uh.
Dina and Michael Lohan are at war again, and at the center of their latest feud are claims mom told Lindsay not to submit to a breathalyzer test after she clashed with a Betty Ford Center worker. According to the fired staffer's incident report, which she wrote 6 hours after Lindsay allegedly attacked her on December the 12th, Dina told Lindsay that no one had to submit to a breathalyzer test. The worker, Don Holland, says Lindsay repeated this, citing Dina to Holland as the incident grew heated. Dina made the mistake of being overheard telling Lindsay and the other girls not to take a drug test, Michael told Radar Online with his big fat mouth in his exclusive interview. It's enabling, even in rehab. How sad? Are you kidding me? If this was all handled the right way with honesty, none of this would have happened. Because he's never wrong, this Michael Lohan. He is the whole problem with this whole world is his ex-wife and the fact that she's screwing up their daughter. Because he, you know, he's just beautiful. But there's no proof that Dina was overheard. And Lindsay has been quoted as saying she hates her father. Hates him. If there was any maturity and any dignity that these individuals have, I've never seen two people like this, but they have the mental and emotional state of teenagers. It sounds to me like they've never, you know, evolved beyond that. If they had any dignity at all, they'd keep their mouths shut. They'd work this out behind the scenes with their daughter, especially if a daughter of mine or anybody would say they hated their father. What the hell is that about? You know? But this guy, not him, because he knows which side of the bread the butter's on, and he knows who the cash cow is. And I say cash cow with all due respect, but this jackball, he's treating his daughter like that.
Yeah, he wants to be a part of the Lindsay Lohan story one way or another, man.
Yeah, he does. He wants to be a part of the Lindsay Lohan story, even if it kills her.
You think so?
Yes, I think so. I don't think he's bright enough to have thought it out that far, but that's what's going to happen. And to be perfectly honest with you, and I hate to say it, but I can only hope he dies before she does. Which is generally how it's supposed to be with parents and kids, not the other way around. So anyway, after vowing in October to never talk to the media about his daughter again, Lindsay Lohan's father, Michael, spoke briefly with the blog Celebrity 2C Celebrity. You know, here the audio is less than optimal here. Here, listen to this. He's not even talking to any kind of a real... This ain't even the Radar Online guys. Who the hell is Celebrity 2C Celebrity? What is that?
I don't know. Some website or something.
Here he is.
Hey, so what's up with Lindsay? I heard she got a fight over there.
Yeah, she defended herself.
Are they going to press charges or...
I don't know what she's going to do, but the lady's granddaughter is wrong.
Are you going to be spending the holidays with her?
Absolutely.
All right, cool. Thank you. Have a good time.
All right, so...
Well, that's not really an interview.
Oh, yeah, it is. He would have said, no comment, no comment, no comment. Get out of here. Did you hear that guy? Hey, so what's up with it?
Yeah, that's that celebrity, 2C celebrity.
Well, you guys got some real winners over there. Hey, what's up with Lindsay? Listen to this.
Hey, so what's up with Lindsay? I heard you guys...
What a pro. Here is Michael Lohan. Apparently, he had more to say on his way out of an unidentified building, which, you know, didn't smell too good. No, he just is out of his way at an unidentified building. He again speaks about Lindsay.
Was Lindsay out partying that night?
No, she wasn't. It's all a lie. She did not party. She didn't test positive. Betty Ford's employees should have never gone on camera and lied like that. All she's looking to do is get a payday. What, she's saying that she's on disability because Lindsay took a phone from her wrist? Give me a break.
If you could get one wish for Christmas, what would it be?
I want this to go away.
That you die.
The surge is not working.
How about that? If you... So I won't give any statements, and there he goes on about how, you know, I agree with him on this. Here I am listening to the guy's comments, you know.
Well, you can't help it.
I would agree with him when he says that the woman working there at the Betty Ford Clinic, that woman is beyond belief, because we have another story, and we mentioned this to you, this Don Holland, this woman is all of a sudden, what is it with people anyway, you know? She's given quotes to TMZ. She is. She's got pictures of herself and her injuries shopping them to tabloids. She got $10,000. She won't keep her mouth shut. She works for the Betty Ford Clinic. There are people. Isn't there anything called? Is there not the confidentiality that one observes or one at least one expects from a healthcare provider when it has to do with a patient? Shouldn't the Lohan, or at least this young woman, Lindsay Lohan, shouldn't she expect this from the Betty Ford Clinic? Isn't this a violation of the ethics involved?
Well, if that's a violation of ethics, then who are they going to get that lady or get the clinic?
You get the clinic. You get the Betty Ford Clinic. What are you going to do with her? What are you going to do with this woman? I guess you could tell her, you know, you're out of nursing or whatever it was that she did. But I think you people at the Betty Ford Clinic, I don't know what you're running over there, and I understand that you've had a lot of top-notch drug addicts go through there, and that's, you know, and I don't mean to be a smartass, but why not? Because it is kind of funny. It is. And so, don't you think you want to vet some of these weird asses? What the hell is this about? So that was Michael Lohan as he was talking, coming out of a building. To this guy standing there in an alley with a recorder, and he sounds just about as professional as Bud, man. They could have hired you, Bud.
I would have done it, and there would have been a better, you know, story about it.
Really? Where is that thing, man, about the... that's right. I forgot. I did want to tell you guys about the... here it is. A rehab staffer that accused Lohan of battery is fired talking to TMZ. Don Holland, she got canned. Riverside Sheriff's Detective said Tuesday they're investigating the Mean Girl star, that is Lindsay Lohan, for alleged altercation with the worker Don Holland. Well, this Holland got fired. Russ Patrick, who's a spokesman for Betty Ford, said the staffer was fired for identifying patients at the center in an interview and disclosing a privileged document. And he's right. Although Betty Ford and the Sheriff Department did not identify the worker, she appeared in an interview on celebrity website TMZ on Tuesday and was promptly fired. She claims the 24-year-old Lohan and two other girls had sneaked out of the facility. You know, obviously the woman, and the guy's right, that Michael Lohan is right, that it is a payday, and that woman took full advantage of it. But still, Michael, with all due respect, I'd rather hear it from anybody other than you and your big fat mouth, if you don't mind. All right, coming up, 9 things that have become obsolete over the last decade. Here it is. Since 2000, we've gained iPods and iPads, Travelocity and Twitter, Facebook and Foursquare, BlackBerry smartphones and Android devices, Xboxes and Wyze, among many other new services, sites, and electronics. We're now poking, we're tweeting, we're Googling, and we're Skyping. But in that time, we've also changed our habits and lost a few things, too. As we look forward to 2011, HuffPost Tech has taken a look back at the things that have become obsolete over the last decade. So this is what, Huff's idea of...
I was going to say, I mean, if there's anything wrong in there, we can do it again, do it with somebody else.
Well, I don't know, man.
Well, what's she going to get? Just because her name is Huffington, that's not about being a liberal or nothing like that.
All right, fine, but I don't particularly... It ain't about her being a liberal. I just don't think she's all that clued in when it comes to culture. All right, here are the top 10 things, and I'll start at number 10 so you guys don't flip out on me. Wait a minute, man. Where is it? Where's the other thing, man?
I don't know.
Oh, God. I'm sorry. I have one through four, or wherever the hell it is. Oh, here. I have the list, but I don't have... I've got one through three, but I don't have the other way. Here we go. Thanks, Jace. All right. Number 10. Is this down at the very bottom here?
Yeah.
Here is what went the way of the dodo bird, baby, over the last decade. It's all over for handwritten letters. Love letters. Thank you notes. And invitations have gone... being handwritten to typed and from the mailbox to the inbox, sending online messages is a bargain next to the 44-cent stamp, the handwritten letter. In other words, what we call snail mail.
Yeah, snail mail is what they call it.
Exactly. Number 9, the yellow pages and the address book, and that is literal because I just heard somebody say they're going to stop printing the yellow pages. There was a time when you let your fingers do the walking. It meant opening a phone book, not typing in a search query. Phone books, address books, and the yellow pages have been made obsolete. Their information transferred from paper onto smartphones and the web. Number 8. Landline phones. While many still rely on landlines, especially in areas where cell phone service is spotty, and that's just about everywhere on Earth... You know, it's true, man. Everywhere. There's no... And yet, all I have is a cell phone now.
Well, you don't have a landline?
I got a landline. I never use it. Users are increasingly unplugging. As the AP explained, a recent survey found in a first for any age group, more than half of Americans aged 25 to 29 live in households with cell phones, but no traditional landline telephones. All right, so that was 10, 9, 8. Here. Number 7, dial-up internet. Finally. Oh, God, did that suck. It's older and slower than the available alternatives, and it's on its way out. A 2008 study by the Pew Internet and American Life Project found that just 10% of Americans use dial-up. Believe me, that's not by choice. It's because they ain't got no choice. Nobody chooses to use dial-up. Nobody. What was that, number 7? Number 6, classified ads. Not only have ad dollars followed audiences online, but the expansion of Craigslist from one city, San Francisco, to over 500, where you can find a hooker in every... I'm kidding.
You gotta watch that, man.
Anyway, to over 500 has sent chills down the spines of newspaper publishers everywhere, thinning newspapers and reducing sales. If only they'd have been awake when all this stuff was happening. Boy, I'll tell you, have newspapers made the list?
Well, the classified ad.
They should have just put newspapers. I've never seen an industry, and there have been, we have witnessed a variety of industries caught with their pants down around their ankles over the last 10 years. We have seen a lot of industries caught with their, and people want to blame the government, and people want to blame unions. But let me tell you something. If anybody is half awake, you know what's really going on. There's a transition from one way of doing things to another. And this means that people change doing business from one way to another, right? It ain't got nothing to do with the government or with unions. And if ever, you're going to tell me that the unions are the ones that caused the newspaper business to go on its ass? I don't think so. All right, so in any event, newspapers. Now, the next one up, maps. GPS devices keep getting cheaper, smaller, and more portable. We have GPS in our cars and on our phones. We use mobile maps for everything from cross-country trips to tracking down restaurants, and we employ services like Google Maps and MapQuest to give us customized routes. Asking for directions, carrying around paper maps, and even getting lost are all increasingly obsolete, man.
Yeah, the iPhone, you use that to do the map?
Yeah. What'd you just say, man?
What'd you say?
I said you use the iPhone for the map.
I do. I use it a lot, bud. I use my iPhone. Don't you guys use your droids? You know?
Well, I don't really go all that place, man. I still like going online. I look it up, and then I take it out.
You don't do it on the phone. All right. Next up, VCRs and VHS tapes. Boy, no kidding, those are done. The DVD was invented in 1995. It was introduced in the United States in 1997, and by the early 2000s, had generally overtaken VHS tapes as the video format of choice for consumers. As recently as the late 90s, I remember still using videotape. But in 2005, the Washington Post penned an obituary of sorts for the VHS tape, writing, VHS, the beloved videotape format that bravely won the war against Betamax and charmed millions of Americans by allowing them to enjoy mindless Hollywood entertainment without leaving their home, has died at the age of 29. It passed away peacefully after a long illness caused by chronic technological insignificance and a lack of director's commentary tracks. The president of the Video Software Dealers Association told the Post he thought 2006 would be the last year that there are major releases on VHS, and there won't be many of those. How about that? So VHS was made history. Did you guys have a lot of VHS tapes?
Yeah, I had to throw them all out, man. I couldn't even give them away.
I had a lot of VHS tapes that I had to just crap can. And now we have, and we're going to try to get them on our website, I have family film that we took from 8mm, Brownie 8mm film that we put onto VHS. Now my sister has taken that, and she's having it put onto DVD. But I don't know what kind of quality we're losing.
You still got the film?
I still have the film. Does anybody have a projector? You know, I still do have the film. The next most obsolete thing, and this is number two on the list, travel agents. The proliferation of sites like Kayak, Orbitz, Travelocity, and Priceline, which have empowered consumers to find their own fares and easily book their own flights, together with the rise of websites and apps that give travelers the information they need to plan their own itineraries, they've changed the travel industry in drastic ways. The days of recruiting a travel agent to book flights, find hotels, and organize tours are on their way out. And finally, what do you think the number one casualty of the last decade was?
Can I look?
No, you can't look. Because if you look, I know you're going to say something. What do you think the number one casualty of the decade was? Bookstores.
Bookstores.
What?
Yeah. The last decade has brought bad news for bookstore browsing bookworms. The rise of online retailers like Amazon, which offers bargain basement prices on books, including that pederast book where you can get, like Amazon, which offers the bargain basement prices on books and other items, and the increasing popularity of e-books has put pressure on bookstores and put many of them out of business. Publishing industry insider Mike Crapcan. What's that guy's name?
I look like Mike...
Well, I better not say.
No, you better not say. S-H-A-T-Z-K-I-N. Shatskin.
You get in trouble.
No, I ain't going to get in trouble. Anyway, he predicts what brick-and-mortar booksellers will experience in the first 6 months of 2011 will be the most difficult time they've ever seen. Well, thank you so much, Mike. He's a publishing industry insider. There it is, man. The top 10 things that were made obsolete over the last 10 years, and the number one thing, bookstores, gone. I still like to go to them, though. I don't know. World-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we'll be back with the conclusion of our program here. Spider-Man continues to take heat. They've canceled one performance, but I think they'll bring it back. We'll be back here on the Phil Hendry Show.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Man, what do you think of this thing?
I want to see a guy fall.
You want to see? What do you think?
Well, I thought, you know, if they're gonna sell it, man, you might well go see it. See the whole, like, the ceiling collapse. You know.
Yeah, but they ain't gonna sell it like they're not gonna pitch it like that. They're not gonna pay. Hey, come see Spider-Man, and maybe the ceiling will collapse. You know.
But that's the only way you're gonna get me to see it.
Yeah, that sounds pretty boring to me.
Boring.
What's a play? Is it not a movie, or what is it?
It's a play, man. It's a play.
I'm not going to see that.
So you think that plays are boring?
Yeah.
Well, I'm telling you, man, when I went and saw O, I guess the closest thing I've seen to this Spider-Man was O, was the Cirque du Soleil's O.
What is O?
Yeah.
That was the name of it, O, okay? And, boy, I'll tell you what. That is an amazing feat. When you're talking about a really physically demanding performance where you've got lots and lots of props and you have in Cirque du Soleil, these people are all acrobats and they're all gymnasts and they're all stunt people. And even the main characters, the main actors, which I can't really say when I saw, oh, I don't know about the rest of Cirque du Soleil. They've got some actors, you know, they've got clowns and they have people that are great in that kind of performance. But everybody that you see is generally doing something physical. Like in this play, oh, it's about some, I don't know what it's about. I can tell you what it's about. It's about some old, wrinkled-up guy who brings a doll to life, and it makes him younger.
Yeah.
Well, you guys look really interested.
Well, I mean, how am I supposed to know?
All I'm going to tell you is they got huge props, and the actors are swinging through the air, and they've got guys diving. I'm telling you, dudes are diving from like 20 feet up into pools of water. So they had a stage built. I mean, the Cirque du Soleil has their own theater in Las Vegas, and they had their own stage built, so they know exactly what they're dealing with. And I went and saw this. It went off flawlessly. It was fantastic. But I think you got to know what you're doing, man, you know.
Well, yeah, those guys, they do it every night and everything.
Exactly. The people that do that, that Cirque du Soleil, those cats are into that stuff. Man, they had guys that were hanging from the rafters, swinging back and forth. It was nuts. Now you're going to try and put this thing on Broadway, and it's goofy. Oh, God, I forgot. You know what? I don't have any time to read the story now. Spider-Man, well, let me just put it to you this way. Spider-Man is going to have one more performance. Then they're going to, well, no, Spider-Man's going dark. Then they're going to come back, and hopefully they're going to do it right. The Phil Hendry Show is produced by Jason Rance. Technical director is Charles Wagon. Our associate producer is Dan Northcraft. Sorry.
What about it?
Go see Spider-Man, and maybe the ceiling will collapse. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.